Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to singer Aaron Zimmer, whose new CD is This Time Next Year. Stick around. He's sending you clues through his TV, folks. So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview. You know, MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. Stop by and check it out. There are more than 900 archived celebrity and pop culture interviews for your listening pleasure. The show is brought to you today by Audible. Audible is offering Mr. Media listeners a free audiobook download and a 14-day trial offer to give you a chance to check out their very cool service. I love listening to books on tape. If you've never tried it before, actors or sometimes the authors themselves read to you. It's great for the commute, the beach, or even unwinding before bed. You can choose a free audiobook from Audible's enormous library of rock and roll titles, including Does the Noise in My Head Bother You? By Steven Tyler of Aerosmith. Sex, Drugs, Rock and Roll, and the End of the World, produced by the National Lampoon, and Life by Keith Richards of the Rolling Stones. That is a great book. Now here's an excerpt from Keith Richards' Life.
We were driving the 400 miles from Memphis to Dallas, where we had our next gig the following day at the Cotton Bowl. Jim Dickinson, the southern boy who played piano on Wild Horses, had told us that the Texarkana landscape was worth the car ride, and we were planed out. We'd had a scary flight from Washington to Memphis, dropping suddenly many thousands of feet with much sobbing and screaming. The photographer, Annie Leibovitz, hitting her head on the roof and the passengers kissing the tarmac when we landed. I was seen going to the back of the plane and consuming substances with more than usual dedication as we tossed about the skies, not wanting to waste. So we drove, and Ronnie and I had been particularly stupid. We pulled into this roadhouse called the Fordyce, where we sat down and ordered, and then Ronnie and I went to the John. You know, just start me up. We got high. We didn't fancy the clientele out there or the food, and so we hung in the John, laughing and carrying on. We sat there for 40 minutes, and you don't do that down there. Not then.
You can also download The Profiler, written by famed criminal profiler Pat Brown and yours truly, which Pat will read to you personally. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/radio. Again, that's audibletrial.com/radio for your free audiobook. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of staffers from Bring Your Music Store who could give up their cush jobs to be roadies for Aaron Zimmer in a second in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. All right, let's play a round of 6 degrees of separation with Aaron Zimmer. Are you ready? Aaron Zimmer's record producer on his new EP, This Time Next Year, is Christian Kassan. Christian Kassan played with Roger McGuinn, the legendary guitarist of the Byrds. Roger McGuinn once got insulted because when I was rock critic at the Tampa Tribune in 1986, I had the temerity to suggest that instead of guesting with every band that appeared in the Tampa Bay area, maybe it was finally time for him to form his own band again. See, you know, that was kind of easy. All right, so by my count, I'm only 2 degrees separated from Aaron going into this interview. Or maybe it's three. You know, I'm never really sure if you're supposed to count yourself as a degree or not. I don't really know. Oh, and one more thing. After leaving his native Lincoln, Nebraska, Aaron Zimmer moved to Brooklyn. I was born in Brooklyn.
There it is.
See, it's like we're virtually related. All right, so before I bring this talented young man on, check out a slice of Conspiracy Theory by Aaron Zimmer.
I got 10 locks on the door, I'll never.
Aaron Zimmer, welcome to Mr. Media.
Thank you so much. It's good to be here.
My pleasure. Congratulations on a really good piece of work.
Thank you. I'm really proud of this one. Thanks so much. I'm glad you like it.
No, it's what I like, and we talked about this before going on the air. I mean, the people who work for your public relations outfit, they know not to bring certain things to me. And what I like is what you do. I mean, it's got a sound. It's instantly, it catches your ear. It's memorable, and it's just it's sort of mainstream in a sense, and yet it's kind of special.
Yeah, that's sort of what our approach was, trying to make things that are memorable. And I consider myself a pop artist, but I kind of take influences from lots and lots and lots of different kinds of music. But really, to me, it's pop. It's pop rock. So I'm glad you like it.
Absolutely. Now, without a doubt, for me anyway, I think Conspiracy Theorist is the star product on this record, and I wondered if you could maybe talk about it a little bit.
Yeah, that one was hands down the most fun to record and the easiest one to record. I had probably 10 stories about that record. It was the last one. I was at Christian Studio in kind of a hot spring afternoon, and we had just the smallest amount of time to get going on that tune. He had another session, or he was leaving town, or I was leaving town, something like that. But we knew we needed to get drums done before we split. And we set the drums up and tracked all those drums in 15 or 30 minutes, which was unheard of for any song we'd ever done before. So we used a different mic configuration, only 3 mics rather than 10 or however many we'd use on everything else. And the sound we got was instantly different and really fresh and kind of felt live to us. And the song just came together, really, really, really easy and fast. And then, we brought these great horn players in, and then it was, the song recorded itself after that. So it was hands down the most fun one to do, for sure.
And what about the theme, Conspiracy Theorist? What's going on there? Are you that person, or are you singing about someone maybe that you know, or
I realized with the last record that I did, I kind of just all the lyrical content had been sort of samey. I was talking about the same thing in every song, and so this time out, I realized that I wanted to take a different approach from writing every song. And this song was sort of about that idea. It's kind of about myself, I guess. It's more like me realizing that the way I was writing, the way that I was maybe perceiving things, was a little skewed. So I guess it's about me, but it's sort of kind of a joke about myself, because the character in this song is clearly out of touch. And I guess going back and listening to some of the old stuff that I had done, I realized that maybe I was too. So I guess.
I mean, when I think Conspiracy Theorist, I'm thinking of Jesse Ventura.
Yeah, well, I sort of had this mentality a little bit that the world was out to get me, and that I just wasn't going to have a good run of luck with all sorts of different things. And I realized it was all in my head, and so it was supposed to be sort of a funny take on that. I mean, obviously the character in this song isn't, I'm not nearly as bad off as that person is, but yeah.
Well, of course, it's not paranoia if it's true.
That's true. I'm really excited about this song, actually. We're shooting a video with that maybe the end of summer with a really, really talented photographer named Bob Scott. And we've got just the most fantastic premise for the video. So keep your eyes peeled for that.
Very cool. All right, so that was my favorite song on the EP. What is yours?
I like them all.
Oh, no, that's cheating. I can't let you get away with that.
Yeah, all right. the truth is, I love them all one day, and I'll hate the same song the next day. The standouts for me, though, are Conspiracy Theorist. I love that song.
Yeah.
Just because of the stuff we talked about, we sort of captured a vibe that I'd never had before. It's super fun to play live, and so I love that one. Honey, Give Me a Hand was the first song we did on that record. And so I love that, because it was kind of a new approach to writing for me that felt really fresh and new and more me than anybody else, more me than Christian, where maybe the older stuff, you could really hear Christian's influence, and this stuff felt like it was directly, from me. That Girl I Love, just because I love Tom Petty, and that song has a real clear Tom Petty influence to it, mm-hmm. so I felt proud of that. And Broken Record, too. You know, I love them all, but I think that I probably love Honey, Give Me a Hand and Conspiracy Theorist the best.
Well, tell me, when you say that it was a new writing approach for you, for those of us who don't write music, who don't write songs, what would you do differently that you wouldn't have done previously?
What did I do on this new record, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, you said, unless I misheard you, you said that it was a different writing approach for you.
Yeah. It's even down to the way that I was tuning guitars. On the earlier stuff, I was tuning in open tunings or drop D tunings, and it really, in a way, kind of pigeonholed some of the way those songs were going to be. And I knew starting with this new stuff, I wanted to get away from what I'd done before, so I tuned everything back to original E tunings on the guitar and just started from there. And then again with the lyrics, I knew that I was I wanted to write in a way that wasn't necessarily always about me, always about some type of emotional something. Mm-hmm. So some of this stuff isn't about me. Some of it's, you know, just, you know, fictional at some times. But I knew I just wanted whatever way that felt comfortable about writing songs. I knew that I didn't want to do that again on this one. And so, you know, both the music and the lyrics were done in a new way for me.
It's interesting to me that you were talking about open tunings and E tunings. I would not have known what any of that meant or referred to 3 months ago, but by coincidence, as I mentioned at the top of the show, the Keith Richards book, where he talks about all kinds of different types of tunings and, mm-hmm. and actually makes it understandable for the layman. So
that's good. I haven't read his book yet. I need to do that.
You gotta read that book. It's
I will.
I mean, you know, I heard that he was doing a book, and I thought, yeah, that ought to be interesting. I mean, what does he possibly remember? Well, it turns out that he actually kept diaries, and he remembered an awful lot, and they supplemented what he remembered with other people who had been around him over the years. It's a tremendous book. Good.
Yeah, I remember I just sort of was reintroduced to Hail Hell Rock and Roll, the Chuck Berry thing. And
right.
I loved his role in that movie because he really became kind of this, I don't want to say father figure, that's not right, but he was really running those rehearsals in a way that is familiar to me, and Chuck Berry just wouldn't deal with it at all, and I couldn't believe how he was treated, actually, but really made his character more personal to me. Sort of got a better understanding of the way he actually probably is mm-hmm. in real life. It was cool. So I need his book, yeah.
Yeah, no, and there's references to that in the book, but...
Yeah,
no, you'll enjoy that. I promise you'll enjoy that. Now, at the top of the show, I also mentioned your producer, Christian
yes.
Chassan. He obviously has, from what you said, has more to do with your music than just producing. You were saying that he plays on the records, and
We met, I think, back in 2007, and I was sort of new in New York City, and kind of had a band, but not really. So we started recording, and he realized right away that. Well, I realized right away too that we sort of needed each other. I didn't have a good drummer, and that's his first love. And what he's absolutely best at is the drums. Hmm. So we just got started on one song, and we split all the guitar parts, and I played the bass, and maybe he or I played some keys on it. I don't remember. He played drums, and I did the vocals. And we got that song done, and realized that we better make a record. You know, out of the same approach. And so that's what we did. We put out a record called Live Wires in 2009, mm-hmm. which was 11 songs. But yeah, you know, he and I split everything, you know, guitars, bass, drums, keys, and vocals. You know, we did that almost all by ourselves. And this newest record, we had a couple people in here and there. But he plays live with me too. He plays drums in my band. And he's, like I say, that's really, really where he excels. And he's an exceptional band leader, and he's just got talent oozing out of him. So I'm lucky to have him, you know.
Well, and I wondered, you know, where do you think your career would be if without the benefit of his experience? I mean, it seems like it must have a big influence.
He has a big influence, and you know, that's a really good question. Boy, I don't know. You know, I have some producer friends in New York, and I've done a project or two that wasn't with him. Mm-hmm. So I imagine I would have some I would have some music out, but I certainly wouldn't have the band that I do now. And I'm not sure I would be so pleased with the way the recordings are. You know, it's been a learning process for both of us, kind of learning how to work with each other. And good question, boy.
So let me ask you this, Christian aside, and, you know, it's pretty much a requirement in talking to kind of a young and upcoming musician about your influences. So tell us, I mean, what did you like to listen to back in Lincoln?
Well, I feel like maybe my background is a little interesting.
Hope so.
I did.
It's gonna make dull radio on TV if it's not interesting.
Yeah. I didn't really get introduced to rock and roll until later. My dad and my family, music was a huge part of my life when I was a kid, but there was Carpenters playing in my house, and a lot of vocal stuff, a lot of brass stuff, but not, you know, there weren't any Led Zeppelin records. There might have been a Beatles record, definitely some Elvis, Chet Atkins, Manhattan Transfer, things like that. But so I came up listening to pop and James Taylor and things like that. And it wasn't until the Seattle music thing hit that I discovered that I really had a thing for rock music. And I didn't even like Nirvana. I liked Pearl Jam and I liked Soundgarden and Alice in Chains in particular. But it was that movement of rock and roll when I was, you know, in junior high that really made me focus on a guitar and focus on the way they were getting these huge, 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 big sounds that were still in a way really melodic, which is what I love about music. You know, melody and harmony are the most important things in the song to me. And Alice in Chains in particular was so good at that. It just struck me in a way I'd never heard before. And so then as I really got into that kind of stuff, I went back and you know, found Led Zeppelin and you know, found Jimi Hendrix and found the Beatles even. So I feel like I kind of learned about rock and roll backwards.
Interesting. And what was it that caused you to leave Lincoln for Brooklyn? I mean, what were you thinking? My God.
Well, I had a band in Lincoln, and we did okay. We ended up touring quite a bit and kind of had some regional success. And when that band fell apart, I knew I just couldn't stay. As much as I loved, you know, where I came up and I loved my family out there, I just knew that I needed to make a big change. And so for me, it was going to be L.A. or it was going to be here in New York City. And I was real excited about ditching a car. I was excited about that. So
that was why, even though L.A. was closer, you came to New York?
Well, that's pretty even drives. But, yeah, it really is. I was excited about how close everything was going to be. And it seemed like New York City was a little fresher at the time. You know, I don't know. I haven't spent a lot of time in California, so you know, I'm a bad judge. But it seems even now to me that it's realer or something. So, you know, I sold my car and the band that I had. We had a big old tour bus, and I drove that to Nashville and put it on a consignment lot and then drove into New York City in a rental truck.
Wow.
And I've been here ever since.
And how is it going for you? I mean, the music industry is in some ways in chaos for older artists who've relied on a certain system. You're a younger guy. Are you able to make a living at this, or, you know, do you have something else going during the day to help you pay the bills?
Well, it depends on what time of year it is. First of all, I sort of think the older guys, I mean, they're sort of grandfathered in the way the music business is now, in my book. I mean, it's the new guys. I mean, if you're not being signed to Columbia or whoever Lady Gaga is on, I mean, you're going it alone, you know. But I like that. I like the bands now. They're going to grow. They grow organically. They grow the way they should be. And it's not about selling a million records anymore. It's about finding your niche of 2,000 people that'll buy everything you do, and, you know, playing in 7 or 8 or 10 markets, you know, that's what it's about to me now. And depending on what time of year it is, yeah, I make a living at it. When I'm home, I do, you know, a few things here and there. My background's in web and graphic design, so I do some of that kind of stuff, and I do some consulting for some small labels and some management folks. And that job actually allows me to keep doing that when I'm on the road. So it depends. Some months I'll sell enough records to pay the rent. Some months I don't, you know.
All right. And before we let you go, I got to say, I mean, you have a very unique look, even here casually. I mean, the hat, the long hair, the shirt, the glasses, you know. Now, you know, a couple days worth of beard, I admire that myself.
Yeah.
But do you mind showing people your arms?
Oh, sure.
Tell us what you got going here.
Well, I had this favorite tattoo shop in Lincoln, Nebraska, where I came up, and I think I got my first tattoo when I was in high school. I played football in high school, and the last game I turned 18 and got a tattoo, and I've kind of just been at it ever since.
What was the first?
It's this little thing I got on my foot or on my ankle. Mm-hmm. That is, but I just love tattoos. I, for the most part, I go back to the same shop. I got a good amount on my arms and stuff. There's still a little more to go on this arm, you know.
Yeah, I noticed that when I saw the picture. I think there's a picture of you like this, or we see both forearms. And
yeah.
I noticed that the left arm has still got some open spaces.
Yes, still got some open ones there. This one is all the way done as of maybe this year. So.
And on the left, tell us about the cloth. I mean, we can see that.
That one I get asked about a whole lot, and I can't even show it to you on my screen. That one is a pocket watch. My grandfather on my mother's side wore overalls every day of his life. He was a farmer in the Midwest, and my earliest memories of my grandfather were sitting on his lap, and he had this pocket watch in his front pocket of his overalls, and we'd play with it. My cousins and my brother and I would play with this pocket watch. Well, when he died, I got a tattoo of that. I figured that he probably looked at his pocket watch when my mother was born, which was at 11 a.m., so I got a tattoo of a pocket watch that says 11 a.m.
Nice. Very nice. Now, I'm not adorned. I'm not necessarily a big tattoo guy, but when I see someone who's got that many, you got to be curious, you know? The pocket watch was very visible in the photo, so I had to ask you about that.
Yes, it is.
All right, so are you playing out these days? Can people find you?
Yeah, well, we just had a record release party here in New York City on Saturday. And now that that's done, we're sort of gearing up for some touring stuff that's going to happen in the fall. I don't exactly know what that looks like, but I'll be playing a lot, you know, moving forward, working on this record and working on getting this record out. You know, I've got a new college booking agent. So we'll start with those and sort of anchor off those dates. And I plan to be busy and seeing a lot of the country in the next, you know, 6 or 8 months.
Very nice. And I assume folks watching or listening to this can find out about those dates by checking aaronzimmer.com?
That's it. I'm an active internet nerd, so email or tweet or Facebook or whatever and say hello.
I was just going to point out to folks that you can find Aaron on Twitter. He's on Facebook, and he's also got a YouTube channel where you can catch some videos.
I do this whole series. I call it Zimmer TV, but it's really a reality TV thing about being a musician in New York City, and I sort of film it myself, and I cut the video and stuff, and I'm really excited about that project. It sort of just follows an indie guy along as I record and, you know, tour and stuff. So check it out. It's called Zimmer TV.
Very good. And, folks, you can find Aaron's new EP, this time next year, which we've been talking about, at Great Music Sites Everywhere. We can order it right now at a great price at MrMedia.com. Aaron Zimmer, thank you so much for joining us at Mr. Media today.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a lot of fun. Thank you.
My pleasure. And folks, for more original interviews with America's top singers and songwriters, you can surf over to our main website, MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. If you've enjoyed today's show, you can subscribe for free to Mr. Media via email, RSS, or iTunes, and you'll never miss a show. You can also download our new free Mr. Media mobile app for the Android cell phone. And, of course, you can also listen with a piece of string in a tin can in certain parts of Lincoln, Nebraska. Show your support of Mr. Media by supporting our sponsors, including Audible. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/radio. Again, that's audibletrial.com/radio for your free audiobook. We're also supported by the PartyAuthority.us. Call DJ Ira for all your party entertainment needs nationwide at 1-800-DIAL-DJs or visit their website, thepartyauthority.us. If you've got an idea for a guest, a comment on today's show, or would like to advertise on Mr. Media, you can email me directly at bob@mrmedia.com. You can also leave a message on our 24-hour listener line. That's 1-727-498-4711. And unless you live next door to Mr. Media, there might be a toll charge attached. You can also follow Mr. Media on Facebook, Twitter, or our new YouTube video channel. Thanks so much for joining us. I really appreciate you sharing a piece of your day with Mr. Media. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. See you next time, everybody. Bye. Hey, folks. You can hear Mr. Media while on the go now with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile app available for your smartphone, whether you use an iPhone, iPod Touch, Android, BlackBerry Curve, or Palm Pre. And when you download Stitcher to hear Mr. Media today, you have a chance to win some real money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in your smartphone's app store. Download it. It's free. Takes seconds. Then, during registration, hit the promo code box and enter Mr. Media, that's MR Media, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episode of Mr. Media will be waiting for you in Stitcher's favorites right on your phone. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows, too, always available to you on demand, no syncing. Some of my favorites include WTF with Mark Maron, Plus One Per Diem with Kevin Smith, and The Nerdist with Chris Hardwick. It's all free and all instant to you on Stitcher Smart Radio. And don't forget to win the money. Enter promo code Mr. Media, MR Media, when you register. And thanks for listening.
Good morning, and welcome to Plus One for DM with my mom and dad, Jennifer Swalbach and Kevin Smith.
Morning.
Good morning.
How you doing, man?
Well, it's Monday morning.
Week three, bitch. It's me, the fat one, and her, the big-eared one, Kevin Smith.
And Jen Schwalbach.
And this is Plus One per diem, as the kids said. Hey, man, let's pay some bills. Pay some bills. Pay this man his money. Give me some music, some bill pay music. MrMedia.com. So much media, so little time. I hear you, brother.
Who keeps track of it all? That would be Mr. Media.
Yeah, man. Can you keep track of Kev being on his radio show and then being on television and then back on the radio show? I was literally listening to the show. There's a great ad for Stitcher in the midst of this ad. I was listening to our show on Stitcher in my car between leaving my show and coming back to my show. So I got to listen. It works flawlessly. I don't know. Anytime I see people bitch on Twitter, like, hey, I can't get... Holy shit. It's fucking flawless. Anyway... MrMedia.com. Now in its fifth year of online radio and TV shows, there are more than 700 celebrity pop culture and Hollywood interviews in the Mr. Media archive of free and premium subscription shows. Mr. Media, a.k.a. journalist Bob Andelman, loves the ladies, attracting everyone from current TV stars such as Jeri Ryan, 7 to 9 on Star Trek, Summer Glau, she was in Firefly, she was in Terminator as well. I think she was the one that gave Muse shit at a Comic-Con. If she's the one that played the space hooker in Firefly, she was at a Comic-Con and Muse was like a huge Firefly fan. He's like, oh, hey, man, what's that? And she's like, whatever. Gave him the stone cold fucking shoulder. Anyway.
We don't know it's her for sure.
I'm pretty sure it is. All pretty right. much. But Bob, she didn't do that to old Bob Andelman, Mr. Media. She gave him some fucking ear and you can hear it. Alicia Cuthbert from 24. Yvonne Strahovski from Sarah or Sarah on Chuck. To classic movies stars such as Raquel Welch. She's got all the ladies, man. Jeri Ryan, Summer Glau. Is it Elijah or Alicia Cuthbert? Alicia? Chick from 24.
Mm-hmm.
Yvonne Strahovski. Raquel Welch. There's even a video interview with Jason Mewes, Shoot the Hero co-star Samantha Lockwood. That is a starry, starry list. Lots of comedians drop by to chat on the show, too, including Eddie Griffin, Lisa Lampanelli. She did something very cool this weekend, man. Ralphie May, Judy Tenuta, and the late Bob Schimmel twice. He's a good guy. Did you know him? Good dude. Was he at the club? You've been around.
Yeah. Actually, I worked with him at the Improv. He was an amazing, amazing man.
Right on. What did he die? He was cancer or something?
No, actually, he beat cancer. It was a non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. He'd actually beaten that. It was a car accident, of all things.
Get out of here, really?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. So you can hear interviews with the late Bob Schimmel, man, from Mr. Media. Mr. Media.
Big bucket of wind.
Big bucket of wind right there. Comic book fans, Mr. Media knows what you want. Search the archives to hear interviews with classic Marvel artists such as Gene Colan. I got a Gene Colan Daredevil piece. And Jolton Joe Sinnott, as well as Dave Gibbons of Watchmen, Darwin Cook, Playboy's Gahan Wilson. I love the art of Gahan Wilson. He did tons of National Lampoon's artwork. Oh, my God, he's good. And underground comics legend Dennis Kitchen. I imagine Kitchen Sink. There are also conversations with the comic strip creators behind Pearls Before Swine, Leo, Zitz, and more. If you're in a podcast, check out Mr. Media's conversations with What the Fuck comedian Mark Maron. Or Emily from Sex with Emily, from the Howard Stern universe, Stuttering John Melendez, Red Peters, Mr. Skin. They've all made appearances. This guy is fucking...
He's got a list.
Yeah, Mr. Media's got a list of guests as big as his dick. New shows are posted several times a week with MrMedia.com. You can also subscribe to Mr. Media for free on iTunes, YouTube, or Stitcher for mobile devices such as iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or the Palm Pre. Visit MrMedia.com to get tons of media for free. Mr.
Good morning. You're listening to Sir Smodcast Internet Radio.